Hey, it's Heath Mulliken from the Double Drop Kick Show with the weekly drop kick. And there's three things I want to talk about very briefly. You can see the topics there in the post. So if you're watching this, if you've got any questions, I'll try to get to them. Here we go. First thing is TNA. For those of you that don't know, TNA officially bought by Anthem. Anthem Sports. Dixie Carter is now just a minority shareholder. She has no say in any of the business. After some negotiations, Anthem has brought in Jeff Jarrett to be a part of the company again. Also rumored that Dutch Mantel is back on board, has signed a contract, and rumored also that Jim Cornette is also going to be brought back in. So if you're a wrestling fan, this is good news. It even though I was one of the biggest critics of TNA, it's good for wrestling if TNA is healthy. It appears that now they finally are going to be healthy. They finally have that financial backing that they have needed. The Pop Network, a lot of people don't get it, is going to be on Hulu before the end of the year. So a lot of people who don't get the Pop Network through Hulu will be able to watch their weekly show. I watched Impact last night. Didn't watch it live. Watched it on the DVR. I still don't understand the Grand Championship. I thought the triple threat match between Eddie Edwards, EC3, and Bobby Lashley was pretty good. And here's the biggest thing that I noticed last night. TNA, through media contracts overseas, is obligated to do so many of these one-night-only pay-per-views every year. And most of the time, those pay-per-views are a complete waste. They're just kind of random matches that they throw together, or there's a theme. But what happens on a one-night-only pay-per-view has no bearing on what happens on regular programming. That has changed. Because last night on a live episode of TNA or just briefly tape delayed, they started announcing matches for the one night only, and they started announcing matches for the announcing matches for the one night only that did have a, no pun intended, impact on the storylines. So as a wrestling fan, as someone who does not watch all of WWE's programming a week, I'm looking for TNA to be an alternative. So hopefully they get their stuff together. They're filming for the next 4 days. And what I've read, different sources, is that there's not going to be a lot of major changes in this taping, that Anthem Sports is going to take the time, and when they come back in March, you're going to see some big production changes. They're talking about going out on the road, so who knows? We'll see. But it's exciting. It's not, because there's a little bit of an unknown. But it's exciting that they do have the funding, and they do have some talent. So second thing I want to talk about very briefly, Mark mentioned it on our podcast about a month ago, and last night, Chris Hero, a.k.a. Cassius Ohno, returned to NXT. This was huge news. WWE live streamed his entrance. He came to the ring as Nakamura was thanking the NXT crowd, which leads me to believe Nakamura is getting ready to make the move to the main roster. And Chris Hero didn't say anything. He just came in, tapped on the belt, and left. As he always does, Triple H tweeted out a picture of him and Chris Hero shaking hands, making the deal. This is pretty amazing. You have a situation where a guy wouldn't do what WWE asked him to. They were asking him to lose weight. They were asking him to get in better shape. And he just kind of wanted to wrestle. And I've actually got to meet Chris Hero earlier this year or earlier last year. Got a picture of him, you know, got an autograph. And he's pretty skinny in here. Well, so WWE wants him to lose weight, get in better shape, and he doesn't. So he goes away, puts on more weight, works his tail off all around the world, becomes, for lack of a better term, the king of the indies, and does so much and makes such a splash and has such good matches with such a variety of people that WWE brings him back. It's absolutely incredible the time we're living in. I mean, we're a year out from AJ Styles coming to WWE, and nobody. Anybody that tells you they knew that AJ Styles was going to have the year that he had in WWE, they're just a liar. We all knew he was great. But we've seen so many guys go into WWE and get caught up in the machine and not be who we knew them to be. That didn't happen to AJ Styles. So that leads me to my last thing. This is the thing everybody's talking about. Wrestle Kingdom 11, the main event. Going to be honest, haven't had a chance to watch the whole show. Kevin Carter, what's up, man? Hope you're doing well today. The man who met the Rocket Cracker Barrel for free. I would like to hear that story one time. So, I haven't watched all of Wrestle Kingdom yet. I do have my subscription to New Japan World, but I want to talk about the main event. Kenny Omega and Okada. A lot has been said about this match already. I watched the match. I knew I knew who was going to win the match, but I had not heard any of the hype. I believe I watched it Wednesday night or Thursday. So I didn't hear a lot of the hype. I hadn't heard, you know, Dave Meltzer gave this match 6 stars. Said it put it on a whole nother level. And even people who didn't think this was even the best match on the card liked the match, thought it was a great match. So it's very rare that wrestling Twitter or the internet wrestling community agrees on anything. Let me tell you about the end of the match. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. You're going to find out about the match. I feel like I need to tell you how I reacted to the end of the match and start from there. When this match was over, and just what happened in the ring, what I was watching, the commentary, or really just the lack of comedy. I mean, that Steve Corino and Kevin Kelly just kind of went silent for a moment. In that moment, just a few seconds after the pinfall, I got overwhelmed with emotion, like tears welled up in my eyes. And it's been, you know, couple of days, and I've been trying to figure out what that was. And I'm not trying to be over dramatic. I'm just trying to tell you my personal experience watching the match, okay? And when that match was over, I truly believe that the feeling that I had was a feeling of a little bit of sorrow that I had seen something so great in my mind that I was devastated that it was over, and I was devastated with the prospect that I may never see anything like that again. So the feeling that I had, I mean, I wish I could have that all. I mean, it was just an overwhelming. I mean, that's what hooks us all into wrestling. Is that it was emotional for me. I don't watch New Japan wrestling all the time, but they hit what I'm looking for when I judge a match. When I'm watching a match, there are some things I care about. Number one, why are these two guys fighting? Well, through the commentary and through keeping up, I know why these guys are fighting. You got Okada, who has been working and finally, last year at Wrestle Kingdom, got over the hump and beat Tanahashi and became the guy in New Japan. And you've got Kenny Omega, who about that same time, matter of fact, one day after Wrestle Kingdom last year, comes out, takes over the Bullet Club, declares himself a heavyweight, and you just see these guys on a collision course. Then you had Omega become the first man from North America to win the G1 Climax tournament, which set up this title match. You've got the Japanese star, the guy, defending his home turf against an outsider. So I know why these guys are fighting. So here's the second thing. Do I believe these guys are fighting? Yeah. This was not a, especially the opening of the match, this was not a smooth, seamless match. There was a struggle. There was an intensity to it. It did not look choreographed. Do you understand what I mean? We've seen a lot of matches over the last year, which I appreciate some of that stuff. I appreciate the athleticism. But at no point in this match did I think, oh, they planned that. 46 minutes. We live in the ADD generation. And for a match to not just keep me captivated, but off my phone, a match that I would say no less than 10 times. I was watching this late at night. But no less than 10 times did I gasp? Did I kind of pop up out of the recliner? Did I cover my mouth because I didn't want to wake everybody up? And I'm not just talking about what we would consider flying high spots. I mean, good night, that moonsault to the outside, to the other side of the railing. Rodney, I see your question. Am I willing to match Meltzer 6 stars on my own? Meltzer has the star thing. That's his thing. I totally agree with him. That by his rating, that's a 6-star match. Totally agree with him. But for me, I'm trying to come up with a different, I don't know, different system. But for me, as high as my rating system goes, this is if I ever see a great match again, I'll probably say, well, that was just below Okada Omega. Or because as I was watching it, as I am watching this match, I'm thinking to myself, am I watching the greatest match of all time? This is me not reading any of the hype. This is just me, a man watching this at home by myself, and I am watching it, taking it in, thinking, am I watching the greatest match I've ever seen? And then as soon as it was over, I thought, did I just see the best match I've ever seen? I thought the pacing was great. Dude, Mark Whitman and I were texting yesterday when he watched it, and he's going to share his thoughts, but he just said to me, man, these guys worked a headlock. 2017 worked a headlock. Rodney said something on one of the posts, Rodney Johnson, and I totally agree. I loved that they teased Omega's finisher. He never hit his finisher. And so for me, when the match is over, there's still this open-ended thing that, well, Omega never hit his finisher. And Okada had to do a lot to keep Omega down. I just thought it was great. I mean, I'm trying to say things that haven't been said a million times already because the conversation's happening, and I'm just trying to add my 2 cents, but I'm trying to say things that haven't already been covered. But for me as a wrestling fan, Donald, I totally agree. Better than Michaels Taker 1. For me, Michaels Taker 2 was better because of the emotion involved. So, unfortunately, unlike that match that went 46 minutes – Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I was going to cut this video short because my phone was losing juice. Let me, yeah, I was ill prepared. Let's see what that does. All right. But yes, I definitely think this match was better than Michaels Taker too. I personally like all Michaels Taker. Well, sorry. It's better than Michaels Taker 1. I prefer Michaels Taker 2 because of the emotion involved in it. Like, for me, I'm an emotional person. I don't really know what that means, but do you understand? Like, when I'm watching a match, if I'm not emotionally invested, you know, it, whatever. I mean, I don't care. This match, okay, it got me emotionally invested. I wish I could tell you how, or it just did. And I mean, hats off to Kenny Omega, because this guy talked a lot of trash in the days leading up to it. Read multiple stories where he said, "I always want to have the best match on the card." And he talked about not wanting to get caught up in the WWE machine. And he set this really high bar for himself. And I have to think that he either met that standard or exceeded that standard. Because it was just a phenomenal match. Any young wrestler who wants to know some of the nuances, you got to watch that match. Because here's my thing. You take out the moonsault to the outside. You take out the table spot. You take out everything outside the ring. It's still a great match. Still a 5-star match. Still one of the best matches I've ever seen because of the psychology of the match. So much psychology. And we're going to talk about this on the podcast one day. But for me, too many wrestling fans are like that scene from Dead Poets Society where they come in and they're trying to rate poetry. And Dr. J. Everett Pritchard has this scale of how to rate poetry. And Robin Williams has them tear those pages out. He's like, man, that's not how you rate poetry. And people talk about work rate and skill and all of that. And that's not why we started watching wrestling. When you're 10 years old, you're not thinking, man, this guy can do a lot of moves. You're not thinking about a work rate. You're thinking, I either like this character or I don't like this character. I'm either going to boo this guy or I'm going to cheer this guy. And I thought Omega played the heel well. I mean, there was one point, and I popped up out of my chair for this one, when he just spits in Okada's face. Just in the middle of the match, just spit in his face. And I was just like, this is awesome. Just awesome. So I know there's a few people on here. I'll take just a couple of minutes. If you got any questions about, you know, the stories I covered, TNA, Chris Hero, or Wrestle Kingdom main event. The only other thing I've seen from Wrestle Kingdom, as I watched a little bit, I watched the ending of the Young Bucks match. And that Trent Beretta dive to the outside. Wow. Basically, he just dove to the outside. There wasn't nobody there. He didn't land on anybody. Nobody caught him. He just dove to the outside. And I'm sure he'd been thinking about that for months. I'd have thought twice about it. Yeah, Rodney, that was ridiculous. And where he landed, okay, is where it goes from being flat to kind of elevated. A bump on something like that ended Rick Rude's career. I mean, very, you know, him and Sting are wrestling, and Sting gives him a backdrop, and he lands funny on where, you know, that deal. And Tanahashi, I have heard that this card from top to bottom, I've heard from wrestlers, fans, people in the business and outside the business, they've all said this is one of the best cards they've ever seen. Like I said, I subscribe to New Japan World just for this card. I want to go back. They had their New Year's card, which is basically like the Raw after WrestleMania for them, where they kind of set up things. Kenny Omega tweeted that he's taking some time off, taking some time away from Japan. Who knows? The thing with Kenny Omega, what else could he do? The only thing he could do in Japan this year to top what he did last year was be heavyweight champion. They didn't do that. They definitely set Okada up to look just like the guy. And then one thing I do know from the New Year show is Okada got jumped. So they set him up as the guy, and then they've already got somebody coming after him. So that's cool stuff. So who knows what's going to happen with Kenny Omega. A couple other breaking news. Kyle O'Reilly lost the Ring of Honor world title to Adam Cole at Wrestle Kingdom. O'Reilly has not signed with Ring of Honor and is basically exploring his options. That could mean he's going to WWE. Could mean a lot of things. But that's the case. And I've also heard that even if he had re-signed, they were going to do the title switch again anyway. Where does New Japan Pro Wrestling go from here? Do they try to top Wrestle Kingdom 11 next year? Well, here's where New Japan's going. And the news, I have not read all of the details, but they're running shows on the West Coast. Like, New Japan's coming to America. They're doing some sort of tournament, I believe, in Los Angeles. Multiple dates. So it's not just like a one-time thing. So I think New Japan is trying to expand. You might see New Japan. You've got partnerships with Ring of Honor. You've got partnerships with other organizations. I don't know if they can top Wrestle Kingdom 11. I'm still waiting to hear what the attendance looks great. Nick Jackson of the Young Bucks posted a picture of the upper from the upper deck, and I mean the Tokyo Dome. I'm not sure how many seats, but at least over 40,000. Which, man, for a wrestling show, that's pretty good. Zach asked, do you see Conor McGregor going to WWE? Conor McGregor is an amazing businessman, and he will go wherever the money is. And if UFC continues to pay him $3 million a fight, he's going to continue to fight in the UFC. I do think it is beneficial for WWE and the UFC to have a working relationship, although it didn't work out too well this time with Brock Lesnar, with his drug test. Although, he, as a part-timer WWE, he doesn't fall under the same wellness policies as normal superstars. But that's very interesting. I don't know what Conor McGregor would do in WWE. Because he's more of a stand-up fighter. He's a boxer. Good question, Brian Huff. What about Ronda Rousey? See, Ronda Rousey, to me, because of her style, more of a mat-based submission deal, I could see her in WWE. But if you follow Jonathan Coachman, WWE's interested in Rousey because she's kind of down right now. And he mentioned, some of the things she talked about, the depression and just the negativity of what she went through. So I don't know what they're going to do. Do I see New Japan and possibly WWE doing a deal? It would be... it's a one in a million shot. We saw in the late 80s, early 90s, several wrestling organizations in North America, AWA, World Class, USWA, try to come together. And you get all those guys in a room, man. You get all those owners. You get all those bookers. And, can't, you know, nobody can agree on anything. So I don't see that happening. I obviously, I would love it. What was the other question? Austin Aries. Ronda would get smoked in WWE. I mean, if she trained as a wrestler and got her cardio up, I think she could be believable. Austin Aries versus Sami Zayn would be an amazing match. They've probably already wrestled in Ring of Honor when Sami Zayn was El Generico. That match probably already happened. Ronda Rousey, Tyler, I don't think Ronda Rousey would get knocked out cold because they're not really hitting each other to knock each other out. So wrestling's a dance. You're working with somebody. UFC, ain't no working together. It's Adam Tucker, Eli Drake, TNA future champ. Let me tell you, Eli Drake is entertaining. He's got a great look. I've started watching him. He was on The Rock's short-lived television show, and I liked him on there. What do I think with the Ziggler heel turn? I'm going to be honest. I haven't seen it. I heard about it. I think Dolph Ziggler is who he is. I think his career is where it's at. And he should not be ashamed of that. He has got an eternal job on that roster. He is a great mid-card wrestler. I have no problem with him being Intercontinental Champion, U.S. Champion. I got no problem with him being a World Champion, but he is where he is on the card, which is just below the main guys. So a heel turn is not going to change, to me. A heel turn is not going to change his place on the card. It may make his character more interesting. Hardy Boys coming to WWE. Hardy Boys... you know, listen, I've heard stories of some of the residual checks some of these guys get, the merchandise checks that some of the guys from the Attitude Era still get. So for me, Matt Hardy's at a point in his life and his career, he's got total control over his character right now. He and Jeff are renegotiating. Their deals are up in February with TNA. And do you go back to WWE and do something you've already done before and get a good payday, but be on the road all the time? Or do you stay in TNA, build on a great character, in my opinion, the broken Matt Hardy, build on that and do even more with TNA? Personally, I prefer the Hardys to explore something new in TNA rather than go back to WWE and be what, frankly, I've already seen them. And if the Hardys made their name jumping off ladders, going through tables, man, they're almost 40, or past 40. I don't need them to be doing that. Lucha Underground's doing great. I couldn't tell you. I don't think I have that. More places guys have to work, the better. I have not been able to watch it. Ziggler looks like Mr. Perfect. Yes, that's who he's compared to a lot. The Hardys. They both left WWE under, you know, different circumstances. I see big things for Lucha Underground. Here's the difference between Lucha Underground and WWE and TNA and Ring of Honor. Lucha Underground is a TV show. It's a good TV show. It's a TV show about wrestling. But it is not a wrestling company. It's just not. It's not a wrestling company because it doesn't do the things that wrestling companies do. It is a TV show. Which is fine. Guys get to work there. Guys get to get paid. So, but I think as long as they are just a TV show, then there is a limit to what they can do. What's my opinion of the choices so far for WWE Hall of Fame? So far, it's DDP and Rick Rude. I have no issue with DDP going in. Rick Rude, if you've ever listened to our show, we're huge Rick Rude fans, long overdue. However, we were under, I was under the impression that China was going to go in this year. Typically, they only put in one deceased wrestler, so I don't know where they go from here. Maybe they do go ahead and put her in, but yeah, both those guys, they're Hall of Famers. When will Chris retire? I assume you're talking about Chris Jericho. He's going to be with WWE a couple more months, and then he's heading off with Fozzy for a while. Whatever happened to Shelton Benjamin? Shelton Benjamin, when he went in for his WWE physical, they found out he had a torn rotator cuff, so he's been rehabbing that, and that put that deal on hold, but he should be coming around, sometimes. What do you think about a Bray Wyatt push? I think Bray Wyatt is where he is on the card. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody can't be in the main event. You got to have everybody at different levels, and Bray Wyatt has a spot on the card that he can always have. It's not where a lot of us would have wanted him to be, but it is what it is. Congrats to the Rude family on the Hall of Fame. Should have been there years ago. Yep. Do I think Great Muta will ever be put in the WWE Hall of Fame? That's a great question. If I'm not mistaken, Muta still owns and helps run Wrestle One in Japan. Probably I would like to see it, but I don't know that that's gonna happen. However, if WWE, so this is what I'm hearing. What WWE has done with the United Kingdom Championship, there's rumors they might do that in Japan. So if they open up in the Japanese market, then who knows what's gonna happen. Honestly, don't think Rick Rude should ever be in. There's people. Tyler says Rick Rude should not be in the Hall of Fame. There's others better than him. Listen, it's not a legitimate Hall of Fame. They put in who they want to put in. You can't take the Hall of Fame personally. Vince McMahon Sr., his limo driver, is in the Hall of Fame. So they can put anybody in the Hall of Fame. Let me just say this. Wrestling fans, we get too worked up over the WWE Hall of Fame. It is a work. It is a business thing. I mean, they like it when we argue about it and we talk about it. And it's fun to talk about those things. But we've all got a list of people who should be in. We've all got our list of people we don't think should be in. And they can't put in everybody at the same time. They put in 5 people a year. Right now, by my list, there's probably 25 people that ought to be in there. They can't put them all in there in the same year. So, Vin Diesel versus The Rock, WrestleMania 33. That comes from Madon. Sorry if I'm saying your name wrong. That's the word. At least it was. Don't know if that's happening now. Heyman needs to be in the Hall of Fame. Yes, I think eventually yes. Honest opinion of celebrities should never be put in the Hall of Fame either. You know what? When you start a Hall of Fame, you can put in whoever you want to in. I mean, it's a business. It is a business. They're trying to draw viewers. They're trying to draw fans. They must be doing something right. I see you there, Brian. Wrestling is like ice cream. We all like different flavors. That's exactly right. Next, they're going to put in Vince's Chihuahua. I have not confirmed yet if Vince indeed does have a Chihuahua. I don't know. What's my opinion of WWE giving up John Morrison? I guess I don't have an opinion. I mean, I never, not one time, did I tune in to WWE programming because John Morrison was on there. Now, can he have tremendous matches? Has he done tremendous things in Lucha Underground? Yes. But I've never paid for a ticket, or I've never turned on a pay-per-view. I've never turned on a TV because of John Morrison. That's just my personal opinion. Will Shield reunite? I mean, will Ambrose move on to Raw? Following WrestleMania, they'll do a draft again. I think the Shield, the best thing for those guys is for the three of them to do their own thing and then periodically come together for a six-man match. And they can tease that. But as far as them being a unit and a tag team, I don't see that happening. Do you think for WrestleMania match between Bray Wyatt wrestled The Undertaker a couple years ago? Undertaker needs to hang up the boots. I think he's. This is rumored to be his final WrestleMania. When will WWE accept that fans don't want Reigns? Here's the thing. McDonald's has a fish sandwich. I have never eaten a McDonald's fish sandwich. Don't like it. That's not why I go to McDonald's. My sister-in-law likes McDonald's fish sandwich. And she gets them. But McDonald's hadn't quit selling the fish sandwich. So am I going to say, hey, McDonald's is shoving, they put a commercial out there, am I going to say, oh, they're shoving the fish sandwich down my throat? No. So, people that say Roman Reigns is getting shoved down our throats are the same people. The year Batista came back in the Royal Rumble, Roman Reigns had an incredible Royal Rumble. And while we're sitting there watching it, me and my buddies, we wanted Roman Reigns to win the Royal Rumble. And we were mad Batista won it because we wanted Roman Reigns to win it. And now we're like Roman Reigns being shoved down our throat. So all of us, at some point in time, we were on the Roman Reigns bandwagon. So, let's see. And like I said, WWE does what they want. I have not heard Undertaker say this is his final WrestleMania. That is, Undertaker and Jeff Hardy already wrestled. They wrestled. They're not going to wrestle at WrestleMania 33. I'm sorry to disappoint you. Because number one, the Hardys probably will not be there. And Undertaker, Undertaker's either wrestling John Cena or what's the other one I heard? It's probably going to be John Cena, and it's probably going to be for the title. That's what I've heard. But who knows, man? This is always the most exciting time of the year because it's WrestleMania season. We're getting ready to see the Royal Rumble. A bunch of people are going to come back for the Royal Rumble. I think for me, Undertaker's that guy. He has earned the right to say when he wants to quit. He's earned that. So. What are my thoughts on Goldberg? Goldberg is money. I thought that the way they booked Goldberg and Lesnar was brilliant because no one saw it coming. It was new. Like I said, nobody saw it coming. And it left it open-ended for them to have another match. If you want to know what we think about Goldberg, starting Monday, we're releasing the fantasy tournament. 64 men. The fantasy tournament. And Goldberg's in that. And I guarantee you, we recorded 7 episodes about this tournament. Doing the first round, the second round, getting to the final four. And you're going to hear some Goldberg talk. Brandon, what's my take on Omega and Okada? Once this video's over, go back to about the 5-minute mark. I spent probably 15 or 20 minutes talking about that. This is also going to be posted, the audio at doubledropkick.com. And so this has been pretty cool. A lot of really good questions. We're going to try to do this, start doing this every Friday. Because there's so many podcasts, so many weekly wrestling podcasts that deal with current events. And those episodes are not, a year from now, nobody's going to, I mean, I'm just being honest with myself. A year from now, no one's going to care about this episode because it's limited by time. So for us, you know, for the Double Dropkick Show, we're trying to record things that you can listen to anytime and it's going to be relevant, like a fantasy tournament, like top 5 heel turns, like our favorite WrestleMania moments. Adam, wish New Japan was televised more in the U.S. You'd be surprised. Go on your DVR and search and hit record new and reruns, and you'll get a bunch of them. Also, I cannot say this enough. New Japan World is under $9 a month. You can watch it on your computer. I mean, you watch it anywhere on a mobile device. I've been watching it on my computer. I actually plug my phone in to my TV. That's how I watch Wrestle Kingdom, the main event. New Japan World, just for the Stan Hansen matches, is worth $9 a month. What's my opinion on Sting versus Taker? Sting versus Taker, at this point in their lives, one of them's 56 and one of them's 51, 52, they would have a terrible match together. It would be unwatchable. And that's not a knock on either of those guys. All right? If Mike Tyson fought somebody today who was also in their 40s or 50s, that would be a terrible fight. So I think fans, and we've said this many times on the podcast, fans have this idea of this Sting Undertaker match. We missed it by 20 years, okay? If that match happened now, y'all would all be cheering for it and you'd want it, and then as soon as it happened, you'd be like, man, those guys look old, they look terrible, which is why they're not going to wrestle each other. Plus, Sting is done. I mean, Sting got the neck injury that you don't wrestle. You don't wrestle after you get that neck injury. I'm a fan of Goldberg. Reed, what you say about it being unexpected. But now if they keep this going, Lesnar would have to beat him twice now to even it up. You can't look at wrestling like that. Yes, Goldberg has beaten Lesnar twice. All Lesnar's got to do is beat him bad one time. Beat the crap out of him one time. What's your thoughts for Rock versus Stone Cold one more time? Steve Austin. Again, these guys are past their prime, physically and all that. So they've already had their best matches. Why would I want to see another one? Steve Austin, his knees, his shoulders, his neck injury. He has already said it. He is not coming back. He's missed that by about, 7 to 10 years. It's just not going to happen. Who will be Reigns' opponent at WrestleMania? I'm hearing lots of things. I'm hearing Reigns versus Strowman for the title, which means Reigns wins the title at Royal Rumble and Strowman wins the Rumble. Who knows? I've heard, and this is just stuff I've heard on the internet. You take it with a grain of salt. I've heard Reigns is going to get put in a three-way with Goldberg and Lesnar. I have heard that they had a lot of WrestleMania matches set, and now, if you remember, maybe a month ago, they got rid of one of the writers, and they're kind of resetting everything. The only match that I've really heard was the most solid one was Cena and Undertaker. That's one that I've heard multiple times, and that's what I keep hearing. who knows? It doesn't matter who Reigns' opponent is. Where does Cena fit in during the build-up to WrestleMania? I think he's going to have a big part. I absolutely think Cena is going to be AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble. Because AJ Styles is a guy who doesn't need the belt to be great. So I'm interested to see that. I mean, that's one of the things I'm excited about is the unknown of WrestleMania season. And some years I'm disappointed with what they do, and sometimes I'm not. But I do think Cena wins the title. I think they make the Undertaker match title versus career. And I think Cena ends the Undertaker's career at WrestleMania. Which is, you know, that'd be a fine ending. What's the appeal of Cena-Taker? It's just this big match we haven't seen on a big scale. I mean, who else is there left for Taker to fight? That would be good, and I think Cena's on that very short list. My thoughts on Finn Balor's return can't happen soon enough. If you go back to one of our early episodes, we talked about young Prince Devitt, and I discovered his work in Japan, was absolutely blown away by it, and been a fan ever since. So he cannot come back soon enough. It was so unfortunate, the injury he sustained. And I think they were getting ready to strap a rocket to his back. And I think he's going to be a great addition to Raw or wherever he ends up. What about Roman versus Joe? Hey, I want to see that match. I think that'd be a great match. I can't wait to hear the fans chant at Roman Reigns, "Joe's going to kill you." Although I am hearing it's Samoa Joe and AJ Styles at WrestleMania, which... as a wrestling fan, I have absolutely no problem with. Do I think the streak was wasted on Lesnar? I didn't think that at the time. I do think so now. Because the streak, Lesnar ending the streak wasn't meant to make Lesnar. It was meant to make whoever vanquished Lesnar. And they never could find the guy. They wanted it to be Reigns, but they never could find the guy to vanquish Lesnar. So here we go. Mark Henry with... Okay, hold on. I got to figure out how to do this so I can see your comments a little bit better. What's the point of having Big Show and Mark Henry contracts if they're not even having matches? Listen, if you follow the news, there's a lot of times hospital visits... people on WWE contracts do a lot more than just wrestle and go to live events. Mark Henry and Big Show are two amazing. They are amazing ambassadors for WWE. And I don't know what they're paying them, but you got two guys that, to my knowledge, have never really done anything to embarrass the company. I'm talking to extracurricular. You got two guys. Big Show has been working with Braun Strowman. And I've also heard Big Show's going to wrestle Shaq at WrestleMania. So, I'm not a huge fan of Big Show on TV. But as far as the company using him, I think that's a good thing. Big Show's new look is amazing. He had... two surgeries. He had surgery to on the gland that makes you grow. It's the same thing Andre the Giant had. So he had surgery on that. And then you'll remember, man, this was a while back. He had, for lack of a better term, like a tummy tuck. I don't know if it was a tummy tuck, but to help him lose weight. But, I mean, I saw Big Show the other day. And I'm gonna be honest with you. If that Big Show came back, I think he could be money. A slim, trim Big Show could be money. I just think it could be. Will Rey Mysterio ever return? Probably so. I know they try to work out deals, and sometimes they just can't do it. Listen, you got to understand, a lot of these guys getting older. We mentioned the Hardys. We mentioned Rey Mysterio. These guys are in their late 30s, early 40s. The WWF schedule is a grind. We talk about it on the podcast. The Young Bucks, if you're telling yourself that the Young Bucks couldn't go to WWE right now, today, if they wanted to, you're out of your mind. The Young Bucks have chosen, at this point, not to go to WWE. They just re-signed with Ring of Honor New Japan. They don't want to do the WWE schedule. They don't want to move to Orlando. So that's one of the factors. Rey Mysterio, without a doubt, goes into the WWE Hall of Fame one day. Deservedly so. But as far as returning to WWE as a full-time performer, I don't know if that happens. I don't care if that happens. I just have no... Do I think New Japan could give WWE a run for their money? Nope. And I talked about that a little bit earlier in the show. What do I think when Damian Sandow went to What do I think when Damian Sandow went to TNA as Aaron Rex? I thought it was a weird name to be used in TNA, not keep his WWE name. So here's what you got to understand, Zach. WWE owns the name Damian Sandow. If they wanted to hire me tomorrow to go in and be Damian Sandow, I would be Damian Sandow. They own that name. So let's talk about Aaron Rex. I think a lot of guys in WWE like Sandow. He found a good spot. He found something he was good at. And was killing it as the Miz's stunt double. I think he's moved to TNA. And it's exposed him. I think it's exposed him. I think he put on a little bit of weight. And I don't think he's a great talker like everybody. I think these guys leave WWE. Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, John Morrison. Some of these guys leave WWE. And they're just not as great as we think we are. WWE puts you on TV and you have a 5-minute match. And then you got to go out to the indies and have a 20-minute match. So the difference, Zach, is Jeff Hardy, that's his name. Like, that's his name. So it'd be like, John Cena is John Cena, if I'm not mistaken. So wherever he goes, he's going to be John Cena. And Cody, he's the WWE somehow owns the Rhodes name. But he's still Cody because that's his name. He became Brother Nero as part of the broken Matt Hardy deal. I'm an inspiration. Listen, Brandon, you're too kind. You are too kind. If you don't subscribe to the Double Dropkick Show, my level of knowledge pales in comparison to Mark Whitman. Mark Whitman is, and you're going to see this in our tournament. The big tournament starts Monday. And there's going to be some winners in this tournament. There's going to be some matches that people are going to hate. You're going to hate it. When you hear so-and-so beat so-and-so in our fantasy tournament, you're going to hate it. And then Mark's going to tell you why it happened and how it fits in the big scheme of things, and you're going to be blown away. There you go, Jordan. There you go. Do I think the Hardy Boys will ever face the Wyatt family? That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Hey, I have loved this today. We've been going 54 minutes. I was planning on going about 20, but you guys have asked some really great questions. Thanks for the shout out, Brian. Thanks for supporting the show. Yeah, it's good stuff, man. We love doing the group. And we really feel like this is our year. You know, we're trying to grow the show. And we could really, you know, we could really use your help. So here's the deal. Patreon.com. Give us a dollar. Give us a dollar. That's all we're asking for is a dollar. Dollar a month. $12. If everybody in this group could give us a dollar, it would be life-changing, and you would see our podcast dominate the world. Because our goal is to just be a different podcast than everybody else, to talk about things nobody else is talking about, and to talk about them, to cover the angles nobody else is talking about. Randy Orton with the Wyatts. Zach, I love it. I love it. I've never been as more interested in Randy Orton than I am right now. He seems motivated. He seems focused. It's something different. You know, Daniel Bryan was wearing Wyatt family clothes. And I think the whole Daniel Bryan joining the Wyatt family was just a wasted angle. That's my personal opinion. But with Randy Orton, it gives his character a different edge. Hey, see you, Brian. Thanks for being here today. It gives Randy Orton a different edge, but then him being in the Wyatt family gives them some, not that they needed credibility, but it gives them a little bit of a rub too, and takes them up a notch. So that's, you know, that's good stuff. Yeah. Any other questions before we jump off of here? We've covered a lot of things, man. We need to just put this on the schedule. Maybe noon on Fridays when everybody's at lunch. So again, you can really help us. Go to doubledropkick.com. I'm on Twitter at Heath Mulliken. Okay. All right. Last two questions. What do I think? Mark's on the Twitter at the DDK show. What do you think of Dave? Dave Batista's feeling with WWE. Do you think the animal's coming back? No. Hollywood's taking him. His last run was completely wasted. Although, I thought the Evolution versus Shield, some of those matches were absolutely amazing. I just think Batista... Nostalgia is a terrible thing in wrestling. You think you want something, and then you get it, and you don't want it. Do I think a Miz Brian Fuse being set up for down the road? I think as a wrestling fan, Daniel Bryan, if he's never going to wrestle again, then this feud has less meaning. But as long as we all have this slimmer of hope that there is a chance, a possibility, that Daniel Bryan can somewhere down the road get cleared to wrestle and have a match with The Miz, as long as there's that hope, we're all on board. I think the dynamic between Miz and Daniel Bryan has made me care about The Miz more than when he was WWE champion and I was watching him main event WrestleMania. He stepped it up a notch. He stepped up his game. Do I think my podcast can top Sean's views? I don't know who that is, Zach. What do I think of Heath Slater and Rhino? Well, for obvious reasons, Heath Slater is one of my favorite wrestlers. Thrown together tag teams like that, that don't kind of have a gimmick like Rock and Roll Express or American Alpha, like Sheamus and Cesaro. Who is Sean's View Entertainment? I don't know who they are. I don't know if they're a wrestling podcast. We're the most popular wrestling podcast in Oakway, South Carolina. So now let me say this. All right, before I go, this is what I need you guys to do. First of all, subscribe to the podcast and download it at doubledropkick.com. Subscribe on iTunes. But if you know anybody in Wyoming is the one state where we don't have any downloads. We got downloads in 49 states. So if you know If you know anybody that lives in Wyoming, I need you to text them right now and tell them to go to the Double Dropkick Show and subscribe and download some episodes. That'd be awesome. So we just hit the 1 hour mark. 60-minute Broadway. I'll have to check out that Songs View Entertainment. So thanks a lot, guys. If you missed part of this show, it's about to be uploaded on audio at doubledropkick.com. So thanks for joining me today. And don't forget, Monday, January the 9th, something we've been talking about for a long time, the Ultimate Fantasy Wrestling Tournament. We start round one on Monday the 9th. And starting next week, spoiler alert, starting next week, maybe for a limited time, but starting next week, Double Dropkick Show coming to you twice a week. So have a great day, and we'll see you guys later.